Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with our senior pastor, Ben Martinez. Don't forget to check out our website at calvarychapellubbock.church. There you'll find a lot more about our mission to love God, love people, and live radically. Now here's Pastor Ben.
Obadiah, if you are there, let's just go ahead and go to verse 1. So Obadiah was not written to the Israel people, right? God had chosen Obadiah, a prophet, to go and take this message to the Edomites, Edom. The reason why is because, and the backstory of this is, there was two brothers, right? Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. And these two brothers grew up, and there was a birthright. The birthright was for the firstborn to be given to have all the leading, as far as Abraham, from the spiritual side. Not only that, from the material things that they had gathered together as family. So he was supposed to be the first. The firstborn was supposed to be the one that take over where his father had left off, for the family, for the finances, all the stuff that came in with being the firstborn. And these two boys had grown up, you know, Jacob, Esau. Esau came out first. Jacob said, "Not you, buddy. I'm going to hold on to you." And then that's where Jacob gets his name, and Esau gets his name. It means hairy, and he was red, so he was a hairy red. He's kind of like your son, red and hairy. But he's a good-looking boy. That's not a good thing. I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So Obadiah means servant of the Lord, servant of Yahweh, right? And Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's only 21 verses long. And Obadiah was called by God to condemn Edom for the sins against God and Israel. And so the Edomites are descendants of Esau, and the Israelites are descendants of his twin brother, Jacob. So a fight between them, the brothers, had affected their descendants for over thousands of years. The division caused the Edomites to forbid Israel, when they came out of Egypt, to cross their land during the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Remember that. So Edom's sins of pride now require a strong word of judgment from the Lord himself. And that is a scary thing to be in when God calls you out for judgment. Church, there is a judgment coming for this world. God is gracious, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's merciful, but there is a wrath coming for this world, for the people of this world, because somebody has to pay a sin. And we've all fallen short of God's glory. There is a price to be paid for you and I to have access to a holy and righteous God. And sometimes we as believers, we forget that, because we hear about his grace, his goodness, his faithfulness. But we forget he is a God that is holy and righteous, and he will judge. There's a judgment coming. And we as a church have to preach this, have to teach this, because we don't want to give you all the good stuff in life, right? We don't want to give you like all the sugar stuff and then you're just bloated and not good for nothing. We want to give you the truth. And the truth is that you and I are going to die someday. I know people who have passed away, who are dying. You know, my father, he's in his 80s. He just turned 80, and I don't know if I'm going to have him the rest of this year. You know, but there is a hope. There's a hope in Jesus that all the chaos, all the bad things that we go through, the emotions, life happens, but God is with me God walks with me. God is for me. And I have to be reminded of that because he is so good. So the first announcement of judgment to Edom, verses 1 through 4, then he gives him another judgment announcement through verses 5 through 9. And then we see the accusation that comes to Edom in verses 10 to 15. And 16 to 18, we see the promise of restoration and the victory to Israel. And then, ultimately, 19 to 21, we're going to see the kingdom that Jesus talks about when he was here on earth. We're going to see that Obadiah says there's a greater kingdom coming that's more greater than any kingdom we see have ever seen and ever known. A more righteous kingdom where there will be peace and righteousness, justice. Look at our government of today. The United States is great, but it's nothing compared to the kingdom of God. There are kingdoms that were raised up. There are no longer like Edom. That is a kingdom of people that were raised up, that became prideful and lived their lives like away from God, and they didn't want anything to do with God. Keep in mind, these are people that were kin to Israel that have strayed so far away that God came in and said, you know what? Your pride is killing you. Sometimes I could be in that place where my pride gets in the way of what God wants to do in my life. I could just think, I could just think about this week how my pride is so sinful against God. And sometimes we have to take inventory of where we're at in life. We have to take inventory of where am I at with you, God, in this life? Has my life become routine where I just show up on a church on a Sunday and a Wednesday? Has it become routine where I have to show up to these things to make myself, make my flesh feel better, like I'm accepted? That's totally different from what a gift is given, right? God has gifted you his son Jesus, and you believed in his life, in his resurrection, and you were saved and sealed and delivered from sin. And we have to be reminded of that this morning. So remember in verse 1, Obadiah introduces himself as the prophet through whom the Lord speaks concerning Edom. He reveals that a message has been received from the Lord, calling the nations around to rise up against Edom. There's a message, a messenger, and a response. You see, today God speaks through his word, his Holy Spirit, his church. He wants our response. When God speaks, what is our response when God speaks to you? And then verse 2, God declares that his judgment against Edom, saying that they will be reduced in stature among all the nations around them and will be despised. You see, God's word is true. What he says will happen. What he says will happen. God is personally involved in what's going on in the book of Obadiah. That could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what side you're on when God calls you. And then in verse 3, it's very important. Look at this. Obadiah 1:3, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You can underline that. The pride of your heart has deceived you, Edom. And the Holy Spirit will talk to us this morning. Has the pride of your heart deceived you in your life of what you're going through? Are we so prideful that we don't extend when we're hurting or when we're broken in a situation? Are we so prideful that we can't reach out for help to my brothers and sisters in church, to God himself? Or are you trying to live your life? It's me, myself, and I attitude. I can get through this. I don't need God. Because that's where I was at when I was lost. especially being the eldest of, you know, our siblings. It's like, I can muster up my own strength. I can muster up this thing. Whatever the situation that was going through, family stuff or whatever. I don't need nobody. I can do it on myself. That is pride. Do you understand that? That is pride. You could be prideful in ministry. I can be prideful up here. Like, oh, I'm chosen to be around, be a... Guys, that is a great responsibility. And to be honest with you, I don't want it. Behind here, representing God and His Word. If you say something that behind this pulpit, you're speaking on God's behalf. And if I'm prideful up here, and I've read so many things and know so many people that have been in ministry that have been prideful in God. I mean, they can be prideful for years on years on years and be up here teaching or be behind worship, prideful, and not be found out, and then God will bring the hammer down. And we see it throughout ministries. Where teachers that we've loved and we've heard, and the message is anointed, but they were so prideful that God says, you know what, I've had enough. Just like He had enough of Edom. Our hearts could get to a place where we're so prideful that we are going to be judged by God. What areas in your life are you prideful in? I'm prideful with as far as being a husband. Like, I'm going to take care of my wife and my family, you know, do all that I can do to make the best family. There's many, many different areas we could be prideful on. And God is telling us, be careful. He says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Don't let pride deceive you, church. And you know when you're prideful. Confront it and say, God, I am prideful in this area in my life. Would you please, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, because you and I cannot overcome it. It's only by His power that we can overcome pride. This world is full of pride. We see it all around us. It is so full of pride. You got sports. Men are full of pride in sports. You got whatever it is. There's pride is rampant. Let it not be rampant in the church. Take inventory. Be careful, God. It's a great prayer to pray to not be deceived by pride. You see, pride is a heart issue. Pride is living a life without God. Pride is depending on yourself. It's me, myself, and I. And God hates that. He hates it so much, He takes Edom out of existence because they are so prideful. Why were they prideful? Because they lived in a terrain where they thought that nobody can attack them. They were on the clefts of the rocks. That they were so prideful. Because in order to get into Petra, you could only have like one horse. And a lot of people that try to attack it during the daytime, they couldn't attack it because they would be destroyed. So at nighttime, they would come and attack it. And who knows how many times they were attacked and they weren't destroyed. And you see how a false sense of strength comes when you think you can't be torn down like that? Oh, we're the greatest. We're the greatest. They can't touch us. That's a heart issue that you and I have to be reminded to check. Because if not, it will take us down. What's the pride in our hearts this morning that God has to deal with? And then in verse 4, it says, Though you soar aloft like the eagles, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. You see, God declares that his power is and will humble those who are prideful, regardless of their perceived strength or lofty positions. Let's bring that personal to you and I today. Have you ever had the attitude that I am untouchable, that... Like, I like to work out, right? Well, I used to really like to work out when I was younger. But when I go to working out, and I was very prideful, because God, I mean, naturally, I'm just, you know, strong for my size. And all my siblings, they're all like 6 feet and above. Most of them are like 300. I thank God I'm not that size, because those dudes are big. And anyways... But I was very prideful in working out. And like, you know, is that all the weight you can do? Come on, buddy. You know, or even in like sports stuff. Oh man, this guy is very prideful. You could be very prideful in what you know, in your knowledge, in your intellect. Like, I got 3 master's degrees, a doctorate. Yes, you can be very prideful in those areas. Or I've got a great business mind. I've been around business guys who make money, and they are prideful. But you know what? They're the most miserable. Because that's all they chase, is something that fades away. Fades away. You see, no one is beyond God's reach or immune to his judgment, guys. We should humble ourselves before God and trust in his sovereignty. In verse 5, it says, if thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? You see, they were in a rugged terrain, and in order to attack Edom, it was very hard. It was very hard to attack them by the terrain where they're at. You know, attacking at night gave the enemy a better chance for success. You see, in this verse it says, even thieves and grape pickers show restraint in their actions, unlike the destruction that's going to come to Edom. You know, Edom's attackers, it was divine judgment by God. It wasn't like nations. No, God has chosen these nations, raised them up to go and take out Edom. That's God's sovereignty. You see, we as the church should treat others with fairness and compassion, right? Recognizing that God will hold us accountable for our actions. You know, we look at Edom, we're like, man, they are so bad, they are so ruthless. I'm glad God's taking them out. No. We were in that same position. We were Edom, lost. It's not a very happy message so far, is it? It's judgment. Verse 6, how Esau has been pillaged, his treasure sought out. You see, God makes it personal. Going back to the beginning of Edom, to Esau. He makes it personal to these guys. You see, Edom's hidden treasures will be plundered, looted, indicating the total devastation and destruction that will come to them by the judgment of God. Nothing was left of this kingdom. Right? Like, when I had a truck and had... back then, this was like late 80s going into the 90s, and the big thing was you had your truck lowered, and you had these speakers that were boom, 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 and had good rims. And I was at my brother's football game. By this time, I was in college, and he was a senior. Came back, went to his football game. I parked my truck. We're inside. We came outside. My truck. What my prized possession were my speakers and my little a CD player. God, I spent so much money on that stupid stuff. My prized possessions. And then my amp. My amp, those amps were, they weren't cheap. They're like $300. That's a lot back then. I worked like almost a month to save up for that. And I was like, surely they couldn't have taken my amp because I had it bolted down underneath the seat. They had a, I don't know what they did, but they got the amp. They looted me. Like, they couldn't just leave. Like, I'm like, they couldn't leave my amp. Like, you had to take a lot of work to get to that. No. That's what happened to Edom. They didn't leave nothing. Have you ever seen a picture of a car? The wheels were taken, like the doors were taken. Everything was taken, but that motor was taken, but just the body, the shell of it. Nothing was left in Edom. Isn't that crazy? Nothing was left in Edom. You see, material wealth is temporary, and it cannot protect us from God's judgment. We should prioritize spiritual treasures and live lives of faithfulness and obedience to God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things where heaven, where is above, not on the things of the earth, Paul writes. If then you, Christian, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, not below here on earth. Because everything you work for, material stuff, all the possessions you want to accumulate in this earth, they're not yours. Ultimately, it's going to go to someone else. Ultimately, God owns all that stuff. He reigns over all those things. Verse 7, we're getting good. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. You see, Edom's allies and their friends will betray them, leading to their downfall. You know, we, the United States, has allies, United Nations. They have all those. But you know what? Every single nation, they're out for themselves. Nations have allies. But you know what? The heart of the matter is, without God, we do what's best for us. The human heart is evil, selfish, sinful. We should not place our trust in human alliances and or relationships, but in God alone. He is faithful and trustworthy. Have you ever been betrayed? Betrayal hits deep when people you love and trust do you wrong, right? It's something else when somebody I don't know betrays me, or I have an acquaintance with betrays me. But when it happens, especially within a family, or people that you trust and know, betrayal hits deep. And this is what happens to Edom. They were betrayed by their own friends and allies. And that should give us the mindset of, if we ever get betrayed, if people do us wrong, it's okay, because God's justice and his judgments will take care of the injustice in your life that's going on even today. Verse 8, will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau. You see, Edom was known for wise, intellectual people. There was a highway, the king's highway, that went through Edom. And in this king's highway, you have people from India, Europe, North Africa, Egypt use this king's highway. And so it was a major highway that people go through. And all people who were searching for what's better in life, searching for like what the meaning of life is, would use this highway. And they would be gathered with this knowledge and wisdom of these other people bringing. So they had intellectual knowledge, like, you know, they had wisdom from all over the place. And Edom had wise people. You see, even the wise and understanding among Edom will not be spared by God's judgment. Guys, human wisdom is insufficient to save us from consequences of sin. We should seek wisdom from God and align our lives with his truth and righteousness. Right? Wisdom and knowledge is a great thing. But when your pride gets in the way, it could be a problem. And we see it with our nations. We see it with the kingdoms of today. How they think they know it all. Their wisdom is they can tell us what to do because they are so wise. Verse 9, I better move on. And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. You see, Edom's warriors will be overcome with fear, and their mountainous strongholds will be destroyed as well. So God is going to take them all out. He doesn't care. You think you're too far from me that nobody can touch you? I'm going to come and get you. You think your wisdom is going to, you know, prevent me from judging you? I will be there. You think you're mighty men, your armies. You see, human strength is nothing compared to the power of God. We should trust in him alone for protection and deliverance. Verse 10 says, because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Now, God is saying, God tell them, hey, you guys are going to be judged. And he's giving them the reason why they're going to be judged going on here. So Edom's violence against their brother Jacob, Israel, will lead to shame and eternal destruction for Edom. You and I, as the church of God, we should treat others with love and respect, recognizing that God values unity and reconciliation among his people, especially in the church. Man, we should be the motivator, we should be the encourager for one another. And I can find myself in a place where I'm prideful and I'm like wanting my brother or my sister to fail. Oh, you think you're so holier than thou. You want to do all that. Well, In my heart, I'm like, I want you to fail. Yeah, and when they do fail, you're like, yes. Yeah, man. How prideful is my heart? Oh, they got the perfect marriage and the perfect family, and something happens within that perfect family, perfect marriage. I knew it. I knew there was something off with that brother. Oh my goodness. Or somebody very talented on the worship team. Man, he is so awesome. Man, he is like, when he plays, it's like the angels are singing from heaven. And then the brother falls. I knew it. I never liked his singing anyways. I never liked the way he plays the guitar. You see, our hearts can deceive us. Church, your heart can deceive you. And you know what that is? We're hypocrites. You are a hypocrite. That is sobering to know. Because you and I can fake one another. Heck, there's times I can fake my wife out real good. And she knows me the best. I could fake my pastor out. I could fake my brothers out. Come on, brothers. Yeah, no. Man, you know what? When I was in that state, it was so tiring because I had to act and act and act. I had to put the act on, acting. I was a big hypocrite. God shows you your heart. Then he tells you to deal with it. And then when it becomes real, when the Holy Spirit just takes a hold of you, when your faith with Jesus, your love for God becomes real, your love for other people, it's not work. Love is freedom. Because you're walking in the power of the Lord Jesus, it becomes so easy. Oh, brother, yes, come on. Keep going, brother. Don't. Whatever happened, that happened, bro. The consequences will come, but keep going. Keep going. Walk with me. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Come, bring it to me. I can take it. Jesus would ask you. Verse 11, on the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners, entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You see, Edom stood by and did nothing while their brother Jacob, Israel, was being looted, being plundered by strangers, different nations. They did nothing. Do you know that we, when we know something's right and we don't do nothing about it, we have to get involved, church. If you're a voter of the United States, get involved. Vote, because Christians need a vote. Get it. We should get involved in like social justice and all that stuff, but don't lose the main point. It's all for the kingdom of God. Is what are you participating in ultimately leading to the kingdom of God? Or is it leading to false things that we can get warm and fuzzy about, ultimately to eternal damnation? You see, we should not stand idly by in the face of injustice, but should speak out and take action to defend the rights and dignity of others. We as the church need to do that. And if you can't do anything, pray. How many of us are praying for the kingdom of God to take place here on earth? Because it's already taking place in heaven. It needs to take place in our church. And in our church, you go out to the places where there is darkness. The kingdom of God needs to go there as well. Church, do not be lukewarm in your walk. Especially in these last days, the end times. We represent God, you and I. Verse 12, but do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. You see, Edom should not rejoice over the misfortune of their brother Jacob, Israel, or the people of Judah. You and I, church, we should not take pleasure in the suffering of others, but should show compassion and empathy towards them. Verse 13, do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster. in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. You see, Edom should not take advantage of their brother Jacob, Israel, or the people of Judah in their time of distress. You and I are, we should not exploit the weakness and the vulnerabilities of others for our own gain, but should instead show kindness and generosity towards them. The love of God draws men and women and children to himself. His mercy and his grace attracted me to him because I knew who I was. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that if I would die, that I would be separated from God. I knew all that stuff. You didn't have to tell me. But somebody had to tell me, you know what? This is the way his son, Jesus, the Father gave you Jesus to believe. And once you believe, you are saved from sin. In verse 14, it says, do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. You see, Edom should not hinder or betray their brother Jacob or the people of Judah who are trying to escape from their enemies. You and I should not betray or abandon those in need, but should offer our support and protection to them, especially our brothers and sisters in your local church, in our church. If we know that somebody is hurting and in need, you and I, as the church of Jesus, we have to come alongside, right? The church in action, we have to come alongside. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. You see, the prophet Obadiah declares that the day of the Lord's judgment is near, not only for Edom, but for all nations. And they will reap what they sow. Our actions have consequences, church. And we will ultimately be held accountable for how we have lived our lives, you and I, as the Church of Jesus. We should strive to live in obedience to God's word, knowing that he is just and righteous. He is just and righteous. God will set up his kingdom here on earth, and it's going to be the perfect kingdom. More perfect than the United States, than any other kingdom in this world. No matter how good your kingdom, no matter how good these nations think they are not the perfect nation. There is a perfect kingdom coming, and Jesus will be the ruler of that kingdom. Verse 16 says, for as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow and shall be as though they had never been. The nations, including Edom, will experience the fullness of God's judgment, likened to drinking from his cup of wrath. You see, you and I, we should take seriously the warnings of Scripture and turn from sin, lest we face the consequences of our disobedience, church. When the Bible says, do not do these things, hey, don't do them. Don't play around with them. Don't flirt with sin, because you will get burned. Whatever that sin you flirt with, we have vices in our lives that God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, is working in our lives to overcome those things. I know what they are for me. You know what they are for you. Like when I first came to know the Lord, and he immediately took that cussing stuff away from me, and that wasn't part of my language no more. And whatever it is that for you, and then there are sins that I still struggle with, but I don't do them over and over and over and practice them and practice them. No, that's the power of God. He doesn't want you in bondage to those things, church. Do you know that you have the power of God in you to overcome those things? In verse 17, it says, but in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. You see, despite the judgment upon the nations, God promises deliverance and restoration for his people Israel on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. You see, God is faithful to his promises, and he will deliver and restore his people. We should trust in God and hold on to his promises in times of trial and adversity. That's what we need to do as believers. When life gets hard, trust and hold on to your Savior. Verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. What God says will be done. He said it, it will be done. You see, God declares that the descendants of Jacob, Israel, and Joseph will be victorious over the descendants of Esau, this nation, who will be consumed like stubble. You see, guys, God is sovereign over the affairs of all nations, and he will bring justice to the oppressed. We should trust in his righteousness judgment and take refuge in him. Isn't that hope? Especially in the times that we live in. We see there's injustice in our world. There's no righteousness, but God will set up the perfect kingdom. 19, those of the Negev shall possess Mount Esau, and those of the Shephelah shall possess the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. You see, God promises that his people Israel will possess the land of their enemies, including the mountains of Esau and the land of the Philistines. What's going on right now in the Middle East? That is no surprise as we read scripture. That is no surprise for us as believers in Jesus. That is no surprise. That those things need to take place according to the word of God for Jesus to usher up his kingdom here on earth. That is no surprise. That gives you great comfort for you and I to be thankful, to rejoice, and to pray. Verse 20, the exiles of this host of the people of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the Negev. You see, God promises that Israel, his people, including all the exiles of Jerusalem and those scattered throughout the land, will possess their inheritance. And we see that happening. We see it happening even in our time today. God is bringing and building Israel back up. So you see, Israel, the people, they need to hold on to these promises too. They need to read this Obadiah and say, man, this is talking about us. You see, God remembers his people and restores them to their rightful inheritance. And you and I, as the church of Jesus, we have an inheritance. We should take comfort in his faithfulness and trust in his promises. Do you know that God, believer, if you believe in Jesus, do you know that God is for you? Do you know that? When life happens and it gets hard, remember, God is for you. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it and walk in it. God fights for his people. Ultimately, Obadiah saying to Edom, don't mess with God's kids. That's what's going on right now in the Middle East. That's what's going on in the United States for you and I as believers. We're Christians. You are God's kids. That should give you and I great hope that whatever we experience in life, hey, I'm God's kid. Ultimately, he's got the best for me. And what do we have even now as believers? We have peace, joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is with us. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and even self-control. Yes, you have self-control. You could say no to some of those things that can be problematic in your lives. There is power in the Holy Spirit when it comes to self-control. Pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God, please fill me with your love, joy, peace. Every morning, pray for it, and you will walk into it every single morning, every single day. Verse 21, see that? Yes, we are going to finish. Verse 21, it says, saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom, everybody say kingdom, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. You see, God promises that deliverers will arise on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau. And his kingdom will ultimately prevail. God's kingdom will ultimately triumph over all earthly powers. He will reign forever. We should align our lives with his kingdom purpose and trust in his sovereignty, church. You see, the book of Obadiah serves as a powerful reminder for us, his church. Reminder of God's justice and his righteousness. Even if we don't see it in our time today, there is unrighteous thing going on. Sometimes we don't feel justice is taking place. You see, it challenges us to examine our own hearts this morning, church. Look into your own heart and actions, ensuring that we are living in alignment with God's will and treating others with love and respect. You see, as we think about these things on the message of Obadiah, what we just went over, let us move forward, strive to live lives characterized by humility, right, church? We should be humble in how we live our lives. Humility, compassion. We should show compassion as a church of Jesus. This is the most important thing. Obedience. Obedience to God's word, knowing that God is faithful to fulfill his promises and bring about justice for all nations. You see, God's word is true. What he says will happen. You and I, we're looking for a greater kingdom. Amen? Are we looking for a greater kingdom, church? Are you happy with the kingdoms that we have now? Are you happy with the injustice that takes place? With the rampant sins that this society, this culture has? You see, the kingdom of God is a central theme in the Bible for us as believers, appearing both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here are some key aspects to the kingdom of God. I want to highlight Jesus as we close this out. God's kingdom. The kingdom of God emphasizes absolute sovereignty of God over all things. It signifies his rule and authority as the creator and the sustainer of the universe. In Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." In the New Testament, Jesus often spoke about the kingdom of God, describing it as both a present reality and the future fulfillment to come, church. Some teachings suggest that the kingdom is already here in the hearts of believers, but will also be fully realized in the future when Jesus sets it up. Do you believe that, church? Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near," Jesus says. "Repent and believe the good news," when he was here on earth. You see, the kingdom of God is characterized by righteousness, justice, and peace. Righteousness and justice It totally goes against the kingdoms that are in this earth today. The brokenness, the sinfulness of the world, offering a vision of a perfect kingdom that's yet to come. I'm looking forward to that kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and the righteousness, and his righteousness and all these other things will be given to you, church. In this new kingdom, Jesus will be the ultimate leader and ruler. Jesus is seen as the king of the kingdom of God. His life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection are considered central to the establishment of God's rule on earth. Do you know that, church? Matthew 28:18 says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority. The kingdom of God transforms you and I, transforms people and society that it touches. You see, the kingdom of God brings about a transformation in individuals and society. It involves a change of heart and a commitment to living in accordance with God's will. Romans 14:17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit." You walk with that kingdom in your heart, in your life. That is God's kingdom. He goes beyond the material stuff. Are you walking in peace, joy, and love this morning, church? The kingdom of God is inclusive. What do I mean by that? The kingdom of God is inclusive and open to all who choose to follow God. It is not limited by social or cultural boundaries. Thank God he just didn't say, "I'm just going to save Israel." No. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor a Samoan nor Hispanic, nor an Asian, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ." You and I are in Christ. There's no colors, there's no class, there's no status, there's no prejudice, there's no separation. God, what a kingdom that will be. Jesus said in John 3:16, he says, "It's open to all. Come, come, you come this morning. Yeah, come, come to his kingdom." Finally, the kingdom of God is eternal and unshakable. The kingdom of God is portrayed as eternal and unshakable. It is a reality, guys, that transcends time and space. Listen to this. Hebrews 12:28 says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." You see that kingdom? It's unshakable, unmovable, and it will happen. You see, these verses provide a biblical foundation for understanding the kingdom of God. These verses highlight the future fulfillment of God's kingdom and the ultimate reign of Jesus Christ over all creation. Church, be encouraged. Even we live in a broken, fallen world. And the worship team can come up. We're going to close. Even though we live in this broken, fallen world, Jesus is in control of all things. You see, friends, I know many of you are wandering in life, right? You're feeling lost in a world that seems confusing and uncertain. We just don't know what's going to happen. But this morning, I've come to share with you the most incredible news. The kingdom of God is here, within reach. And it's unlike anything you've ever known. I experienced this kingdom back in January of 2000 when I heard the gospel, the good news. You, my brothers and sisters, have experienced that in your own life, and you are entered into this kingdom that's unshakable, unmovable. You see, in this kingdom, you'll find hope, love, purpose beyond measure. It's not a distant dream or a fairy tale like some people could relay it to. No, it transforms people. It's about a radical transformation of your heart, your mind, your life. It's about letting go of the burdens that weigh you down, church, and surrendering to the love that surpasses all understanding. God is so good. I know it may seem too good to be true, but I promise you, sometimes you hear these things and your life happens and life is rough and you're like, that's just too good. I can't believe that. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie from hell. You see, Jesus has come to show you the way to lead you into this kingdom of light and life. All you need to do is believe and trust Jesus, and you will have new life in a kingdom that's everlasting. So friends, this morning, church, leave behind the emptiness of the world and step into the abundance of God's kingdom. Will you do that this morning, church, if you haven't? If you're here today and you haven't stepped into this kingdom, will you do it this morning? It's an invitation from God. Because you know why? It's a journey worth taking, guys. And Jesus will be with you every step of the way. The good times, the bad times, the low times, when you're depressed, when you don't think you're good enough, when you feel you have to perform for people. Jesus extends an invitation of hope and salvation to all who are willing to listen and believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? What do I need to believe in? You're a sinner. Your body has fallen short. God is a holy God. There's only one way. It's not a way, it's a person. His name is Jesus. And as we close out, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for the church. And I want to pray for those who don't know him. If you believe that Jesus died for you, you will be saved. He died for you so that you won't have to die and be separated from the Father. Let's pray. Father God, God our Father, you are so good to us. Thank you so much for the book of Obadiah, just a reminder of the ultimate kingdom that will rule and take place here on earth. And God, I look so forward to that, Lord. God, you're so good. God, I pray for your church, God. I pray that the kingdom, that your kingdom, Father, for your people, that we would truly understand and know that, Lord. This is the gospel. Mankind has sinned. They've broken God's laws. You and I, without Jesus, his son, the Savior, we cannot enter into this kingdom. God says, do you believe in my son? Do you believe in the sacrifice that he made? Do you believe that he died and rose again for you? Do you believe that this morning? And if you haven't, I invite you to enter into his kingdom. Believe that Jesus died for you. He rose again, and he walks with you. If you believe it, you'll be saved. It's God's work of salvation. It's not ours that we have to pursue. No, it's him drawing us to himself. It's a gift. Do you accept that gift this morning? If you're here and you haven't opened it up, open Jesus. Would you please raise your hand? I just want to acknowledge you and pray for you. Know that Jesus came to save you. Yes, sir. I see you, brother. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? We are committed at Calvary Chapel Lubbock to always do this at the end of service. Brother, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe you. I believe you died for me and you rose again and that you can give me new life. I believe you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to hear about your good news. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. I believe and I trust that you walk with me. He sees you, brother. He sees you. And afterwards, there will be somebody to visit with you and make sure that we connect, because we want to walk with you in Jesus' name. We want to make sure you get plugged in, not with the church, with his kingdom. His kingdom. And I would pray for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning. God, strengthen us. Give us boldness, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, that we may be empowered and renewed and refreshed even this week to make a difference in your kingdom. God, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for the gift of your church, the gift of family and friends, for the gift of you, Father. Ultimately, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We believe this. Rejoice in you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. We'd love to hear from you and see you in person at the church. You can find our contact information, location, and even give a donation at calvarychapellubbock.church. We'll see you next time on the podcast. Until then, may God bless you and your family.